Hello and welcome to this week's podcast sermon recap. Are we holy or are we becoming holy? How do we live good lives? How do we make moral decisions? Does it really matter? These are the kind of questions we're going to be thinking about this morning. So I hope you find this sermon useful and helpful and you're blessed by it. Have a great week. And this morning, we're going to think about holiness. Now, when I was at university, I studied physics. And I'd like you to picture the scene, and it was probably in the second year of my physics course, a three-year course. Picture the scene, second year physics course. I mean, one of those massive lecture theatres, big ones. And there's like 200 of us, and there's one fella down the front writing on this blackboard or whiteboard or something. He's on like the third page. And I'm sitting there, and I think I can pinpoint the moment that I just stopped caring. And it was that, and took like a year and a half in. And I looked at this C. I mean, by this point, physics, we didn't have numbers anymore in physics. It was just symbols. And they'd run out of letters. So they'd used all the letters on the easy stuff. So now they were just making up Greek symbols. I mean, it looked like Egyptian hieroglyphs. Anyway, so we're on the third page of this. And I just thought, I just don't care anymore. I just didn't understand. And so, I did finish my physics degree. I did get to the end somehow. But one thing they let me do was they let me do one module that wasn't physics, that wasn't in science. And so I picked philosophy. And I did one module of ethics and philosophy. And I loved it. It was fascinating. I was rubbish at it, like completely terrible. Like, I'm much better at maths than I am at writing essays, as my master's is proving. But anyway, I loved it. And the reason why I loved it is because an ethics lecture, an ethics lesson, that subject was much more like the real world than physics. Because in that physics, like, if you asked a question, there was always one answer. You like, dude, worked it out, x equals 3. Okay? So like, you worked it, there's the answer. You can't argue with it, x equals 3, that's the answer. But in ethics, no. There was never one answer. Every answer began, it depends. On the one hand, you may think this. And on the other hand, you may think this. It depends. And so, you're listening to these guys and they're all these different opinions. And the reason why I loved it is because life is like that, isn't it? Like, life doesn't have easy answers all the time. You can't just sit down and think, right, x equals 3, that's how I live my life. There's always different perspectives. There's always, on this hand, on the other hand, there's always, it depends. And for those of us who this week have been thinking about what it means to be good and trying to make the right choice, and trying to do the good thing, and trying to act like Jesus would act. And as Christians, we're trying to represent what God is like in the way that we act. I mean, we've all made those choices this week, haven't we? Have you made those choices? Some people here, you have to make the choice as to who to let go at work. Like, that's a big choice for you. You're letting people, that's a moral choice. Some people here, you have to choose which family member to see, and when, and how pushy to be. Those are choices, aren't they? Some of you need to decide what goes on an expense form. Ethical choices. All of us this month have had to decide how to spend your money. Haven't you? Whether to spend more on that or on the other thing. It's confusing. How do you live a holy life? What does it mean to be good? What does it mean to make the right choice? I mean, which orange juice do you buy? We've got another picture here, Cynthia. Because there's a lot of choices. And I was thinking about this, like, we're trying to make the right decisions here, but we're trying to act like Jesus would act. Do you pick the best one? Because God, do we all agree that God is the good of good stuff? God has made a beautiful world with delicious oranges in it. So shouldn't you buy the best one? Shouldn't you get the best orange juice made from the best oranges? Isn't that what we should do? Because we're living godly lives, so we should buy the best. And, well, maybe we need to buy the fair trade one. Because God is on the side of the oppressed and the poor. We need to buy the one that is most easily recycled. Because this is a beautiful world that we live in and we need to look after it. So we need to buy the most easily recycled one. Some people will be like, no,
we need to buy the cheapest one and give the rest of the money away. Some people would say, you shouldn't have orange, you should just fast. Do you see the point I'm trying to make? That all of us are faced with decisions day in and day out. And it's confusing. Life's more like an ethics lesson. Well, it depends. On this perspective, this, on this perspective. It's not always clear cut. And Paul is having this same question. I don't think he was actually talking about orange juice, but you get the gist. Paul is writing this letter to Philippians, and he's trying to get to the bottom of what it means to be good. What it means to be good. So he opens with this. If someone else thinks they've got more reason to be confident, I've got more. I was circumcised on the eighth day, the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, the Hebrew of Hebrews, in regards to the law of Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. This week, Charity pointed out very politely that I hadn't taken the washing out of the washing machine. And I think my response was something along the lines of, oh, but I did hoover the lounge. You know when someone tells you something wrong, but you're like, oh, but I did do that. Is that just me who does that? No, oh, okay. You're like, oh, you did. No, but I did do this, this and this. I promise. I have done some good things there. Anyway, it's like Paul is listing all the other good stuff that he has done. Like Paul, by the age of 12, had memorized the Old Testament. And by that, the first five books of the Bible, by the age of 12. And I don't just mean he learned the names of the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He had learned the first five books of the Bible. I am reading Numbers at the moment. It is not particularly interesting. That is a tough thing to learn by the age of 12. Paul says, when I was a kid, I just thought if I followed the rules, then that would be okay. So they told me to learn the five books of the Bible, and I learned the first five books of the Bible. I was a Hebrew amongst Hebrew. I was a Pharisee amongst Pharisees. Paul thinks, if only I can follow enough rules, then I'll be alright. If only I have enough rules, then I'll make the right decisions in life. And Paul realises, all it did was made him very, very judgmental. And before long, he's dragging Christians out of their house and he's having them arrested and murdered. Have you ever met someone who follows the rules so much that they just become fairly unpleasant to be around? Have we ever met people like that? So I read a leaflet a while back that was written by someone who really believed that Christians should look after the world, and I agree with them. And they said that Christians should take a leading role in animal welfare and fighting deforestation, and I agree with all of it. But the leaflet was horrible. It was so judgmental. It was like, how dare you act like this when this has happened? And I threw it away because it was horrible. It was horrible to read. Because you see that when you start trying to just follow all the rules, it's very easy then to become fairly judgmental of the people around you that don't follow the rules. So Paul says, I did all this good stuff, but I realised I was dragging Christians out of their home. Before too long, I would just became dogmatic. So how do you live a good life? Paul lists all of these accomplishments, and then he says, my righteousness comes not because of the law, but because I have faith in Jesus. My righteousness comes not because of the laws, but because I've got faith in Jesus. There reaches a point where we try and follow the rules, and we get to a stage where we can't do it anymore. And let me tell you this morning, you are holy and accepted exactly as you are. Exactly as you are. The message of Jesus is that following the rules doesn't save you. The message of Jesus is that if you keep on trying so hard to get there, we inevitably mess up. But it's okay. Because as you are now, you're all right. You're accepted. You are loved. Paul says, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God based on faith. The message of the Bible, Christianity, is not about getting it all right. It's not about following all the rules properly. It's not about doing more stuff. Christianity is not about what you do, it is who you know. because we realise we can't do it all. Christianity is accepting the free gift that God has given us. It's all through the Bible. It says, Paul says, we've already died to sin, we are free. Ephesians said, he chose us before the world to be holy and blameless in him. 2 Timothy, he has called us to a holy life. It is not by works that you are saved, but by grace. It is by faith in Jesus Christ. Romans 5 said, the obedience of one man has made many righteous. So do you feel holy this morning? Because you are. Because God has made you holy. Because God has forgiven you. Because God has made it all right, that you can be whole because of the gift that Jesus has given you. It's good news. But the thing is, what do you do with that? Do you just think, oh, it doesn't matter anymore? I'll do what I like. There's a great story. There was a kid who got caught with a stolen bike. And they said to the kid, why have you got a stolen bike? And he said, because I was praying for a bike for ages. I said, God, give me a bike. God, give me a bike. And then one day I realised that's not how God works. So I stole a bike and I asked for forgiveness. And there is a danger, isn't there? There is a danger because you are forgiven. You are. I just read all of those passages about that you're righteous. It's not by what you do, it's what Jesus has done. But there comes a point where you think, oh, I'll just nick a bike then. And I said, do you see what I mean? There comes a point where you think, what is the point in trying to be good? And this is what Paul says. He says, I haven't reached the goal. I am straining to heaven. I've got an upward call of God in Christ. Paul says, I want to get better. I want to live better. I want to live a life worthy of the call I have received. Because it's like an ethics lesson. On the one hand, as you sit here now, you are loved. You are accepted. You've got in. Right here, before you've done anything, because of what Jesus has done on the cross, you're in. You are whole. But on the other hand, don't give up. Don't stop trying to live a good life. Don't stop trying to that upward call. I don't know about you, but in a year, I want to be a better version of myself than I am now. I want to be holier in a year's time than I am now. I want to live better. I want to be more generous. I want to be a person that looks more like Jesus in a year's time than I do now. There were kids when they applied to university and they get something like, I don't know if you remember this, or you've got grandkids or kids who are going through this. The university will say, like, get 2 B's and a C and we'll let you in. Have you encountered this offers? And then the kids start working hard because they've got to get 2 B's and a C. I can always spot the cocky kid in my class who's got an unconditional offer. You heard of those? Unconditional offer? And the university basically says, whatever you get, you're allowed in. Whatever you get, you can get 4 E's. You can just not turn up to it. We'll let you in. You've got an unconditional offer. But let me tell you what, if that kid doesn't work, they're not going to be blessed when they're at university. They won't reap the benefits. They'll be stressed, they'll be trying to catch up. It's similar, I know the analogy is not perfect, but it's similar to us, isn't it? God says to you, you have got my unconditional love. You are in, you are loved, you are made holy by what Jesus has done. But if you want to reap the benefits, then live a good life. If you want to reap the benefits, live a good life. I want to be a better person in a year's time. Not because I have to be, but because I can. So what orange juice do you buy? I think Paul summarises it all with this last bit. Paul says, let us hold fast to what we've already attained. Let us hold fast to what we've already attained. There's a sense in what Paul writes. Sorry, next one please, Cynthia. There's a sense in what Paul writes that we know we are loved. That you know you are accepted. You don't have to follow enough rules to be loved by God. Jesus' death on the cross means that you are loved and accepted as you are. But don't stop trying. Don't stop pushing for the next level. Don't stop moving from one degree of glory to another. Don't stop holding fast to what you've already got. You can be better in a year's time. So what orange juice do you buy? I don't know. But don't stop asking the question. Don't stop thinking about it. Don't just think, oh, it doesn't matter because I'm accepted by God anyway. Keep on thinking, how can I live better? How can I love people better? How can my life be a bigger blessing to the people around you? You have got an unconditional offer to heaven. You are welcome. You are accepted. But if you want to reap the benefits in this life and the next, we are called to a holy life, holy living, making ourselves more like Jesus, moving from one degree of glory to another. Let's pray, and then Charity's going to lead us with a final song. God, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you that you have made us whole, that you have made us righteous, that we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. We thank you that as we sit here now, we are made holy. But we thank you that we can also become more holy. That there's another level for us all to go. I pray that we would be an inspiration to each other to keep on running the race, to keep on clinging to what we've already attained, to keep our eyes fixed on you, Jesus, because we know there is more for us, there is further we can go. There are more questions we can ask. There are things in our lives that we can change. God, give us the strength to keep on running. And in it, let us still know that you love us, whatever we do. In Jesus' name, we ask. Amen.